What's going on, Humboldt, Texas? Welcome to episode 80 of season 5 of Talking Throws Podcast, Texas Style. As everybody knows, I'm Coach Janelle.
Wait, what?
I'm Coach Jason.
I'm much cuter.
You are.
To be Coach Janelle. I am not Coach Jason.
Yes.
You should recognize us by our voices.
Yeah.
I'm Coach Janelle.
And FYI, she's already in her
during COVID, everybody did Zooms like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You didn't have to tell them I was about pajama pants.
I just noticed it. Well, guys, we're with the track club, The Thorn Factory. You can go to that website, thethornfactory.com. Janelle, did you know if you go to thethornfactory.com and you scroll down on the main page, you will find links to Four Throws and to Porta Circle and to our podcast information as well. So all you have to do is just go and click on the link and it'll take you where it needs to go. So
awesome. So, I did not know that.
Yes, it's on the very bottom. And then also remind everybody about our shopping page where you can buy this cool little collared shirt, our pullovers, sweatshirts if you need them. There's also Lifting DFW apparel on there as well. Just go to the shopping page on the thornfactory.com website. So also too, remind West at the Thorn Factory led by Coach Kai Smith, East at the Thorn Factory led by Coach Jarvis, and then Knight Performance and our Knight Power and Performance led by Coach Knight are all looking to do lessons to help you get better at whatever event that you have passion for. So reach out to those guys. You can find their contact information on the website, thethornfactory.com. Also to remind everybody that we're starting our lifting sessions up for the off season. So Lifting DFW is up and running. We just got the commercial posted on there. So go to liftingdfw.com and you will see the new commercial, and we're going to be getting some social media posts out too. And also too, Lifting DFW also has an Instagram now, so please follow that. Without our sponsors for season 5, we can't do what we do. Texas Track and Field Coach Association. That website is ttfc.org.com. Anything you need to know in track and field, the Winter Clinic is coming up in January 7th and 8th of 2023. We're excited that a couple of podcast alumni, Adam Setliff and Steven Sines, will be talking. So we look forward to those, and we're actually going to be in attendance. So we're going to be doing some live interviews, taking autographs, and doing some live interviewing as well. Not in your pajama pants. Fourthrows.com, quality implements priced right. If you're looking for fiber sports discus, Fourthrows.com is the site to go as well. Porta Circle, Porta-Circle, making things more accessible anywhere you need to be. Whether it's in a driveway, in a basketball gym, underneath a stadium, or on some grass, use the Porta Circle because it's a great teaching tool and great visual for your young throwers as far as spatial awareness goes. So that website is porta-circle.com. Use the code TALKINGTHROWS10. Ready Up Athletic Development, your personal or group training Greater Austin area. That is led by Zach Phillips. His cell is 512-507-8347. And you can follow him on social media, Ready Up on Instagram and Facebook. And then also his website is readyupad.com. And then also, too, as we just mentioned, Fiber Sports Discus, a new way to get the distance. You can go to thethornfactory.com to go to the link so you can get the right size. And then you want to go to fourthrows.com to make that purchase and use the code TALKINGTHROWS10. And then remind everybody, too, if you want more detail about the fiber sports discus and the history, we did an episode with Bruce Caldwell. I think it was like 3 episodes ago. So go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts to listen to that. Was it episode 76?
76.
All right.
We're on 80. 80 podcasts.
Yes. Today's guest is a 1980 graduate of Humboldt High in Humboldt, Texas. After graduating high school, he went to Stephen F. Austin to play football and to throw. he graduated from Stephen F. Austin, where he was an All-American in the shot put and a national qualifier in the discus. He graduated there in 1985. From there, he went on to become a Texas high school teacher and coach with stops at Brazoswood High School, Texas City High School, and New Braunfels High School. He's coached the throws all through his high school coaching career. Also was a head coach at a couple places. In 2019, he founded the Texas Throws Camp, which is out of kind of around the greater Austin area. So we're going to get some information on that. And then currently, he is a UIL state meet official, and he's also running GF Watkins Ministry. So please welcome to the podcast, episode 80, GF Watkins.
Thank you for being on and, you know, sending us some of your information. So you talked about how important your family was when you started throwing. Share that with us on how you got started throwing and the importance of your family and getting you started with that.
You bet. You know, my dad was always huge in my life, and he's still alive. He's 85. Dad was an All-American guard at Baylor, and he threw the shot put and discus. He was a 58-footer back in the 50s, and so he loved it, you know, and told me his stories. And so when I grew up to be about, I don't know, however old you are, in the fourth grade, we lived down in Gregory, Portland, and since he was my hero, I wanted to do what he did. Problem was, I couldn't throw it very far. I was like stunted in my growth. I was a shrimp. So I went out and started practicing. And I got where I could use some quickness and some speed, whereas I was not very big. And I learned how to throw it pretty much on my own. Had a little coaching from a coach over there. And I'll never forget. I've actually got the, sorry about that. I've actually got, a letter that he wrote me, because we went to the first summer track meet that they had in Gregory, Portland. That's when Marty Akins was still there and all that. I won first place. And he was a pharmaceutical salesman at that time. He had been a coach, then he'd gone into the medical field. And he was in New York while I was throwing. And he wrote me a letter that I kept all this time about how proud he was of me. And how he wished he'd have been there, you know. Wow. And so that started my trek in shot put and discus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was awesome. Do you remember a couple of sentences from the letter? Just do you?
It's, yeah, of course I do. you know I do. That was total affirmation, you know, for a little boy. And he still does that today. He still calls me and says, "I'm proud of you, son." You know, and anything really? You're doing. So that's a big part of our ministry today is the Father's affirmation and what we do. Awesome. But he just said, you know, if I'd have been there, I'd have carried it around the track on my shoulders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, always. And then what was interesting is as I went through, you know, my career in junior high, we moved to Uvalde. He was the coach and we never lost a track meet out there. And I set all kind of records and shot and discus in the Hill Country. Oh, and then we moved to Humble High School, which is in Houston.
Yeah.
And my senior year, I made it to state there. And I'll never forget looking over. By that time, he was a principal of a school. And by the way, Mom was the girls' athletic director at Kingwood.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we got a coaching family.
Yeah.
And but this is a major point is I was throwing at regional to go to state, and I had broken both of my wrists as a sophomore, and it made it very difficult to throw, so I had to use a lot of tape. And as a sophomore, I remember when it got down, you know, to the I guess it'd be the fifth throw, I solidified it that the top two were going to go. Uh-huh. which gave me the final throw, and I was so pumped because I could look in the stands and see that same guy that shouted me on as a fourth grader, but this time he was there. And so I won regional, qualified for, you know, 6A now, whatever it was back then, 5A. And when I walked over the fence, neither one of us could contain ourselves emotionally.
Oh, wow.
So it was a real bonding for he and I. And then I went to college, played football at Air Force, and threw the shot and discus for Air Force.
Wow.
And then ended up at Stephen F. Austin, made All-American as a senior there. Got so it's been a big part of my life.
Oh, for sure. For sure. As going back a little bit to your youth in the high school, were you a glide shot putter?
Absolutely.
Were you really?
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't anybody doing spin at that time. Not really.
There wasn't. Okay. So So were you looking at old real tapes of Randy Mattson? What were you doing back in the, who were you reading?
Yeah, I had a really good high school coach, and he was a student of the game. And so he had us watching Mattson and all Barnes, Mattson. But he knew all those guys, so they would come to our humble high school and show us.
Really?
I mean, so we had some really – I mean, we were serious. So several of us went to state from Humble right in a two-year period, you know, shot put, discus. So we had a really good core of guys. As a matter of fact, the guy that I told you about passed away the other day. And he was a state champion from Humble, went on to play for A&M football. But the coach – came it has followed we're still great friends today because of that time and that bonding, you know, every day after school for a good hour and a half, 2 hours in the weight room and throwing, and we just bonded out there, you know, at that ring, about five or six of us.
Oh wow. So did you throw year round when you were in high school? Because, you know, we battle that with our throwers today in the state of Texas where, you know, they do football year round and they're kind of fatigued by the time tracks gets here. Especially during the off season. How did y'all do it back when you were in high school?
Well, I graduated in 1980.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think it was as football intensive as anything you could see, you know, and my senior year, I'd been a running back and a linebacker.
Oh, really?
And so, I mean, I ran the sprint relay, the mile relay. I was a runner and a thrower, and I could never put on enough weight doing that to really get where I wanted to go. So the senior year, I didn't run. I just threw. Oh. But it wasn't year round. It was after football. But I gained up to 210 pounds, and that was the heaviest I'd been. But it really did help me in my bench, you know, my heavy lifting, and then coming across the ring, I was still quick. I just had that extra weight.
Gotcha. I'm kind of curious with your size. If I don't know if you remember this, did you throw a big shot put or did you gravitate to maybe a smaller one?
No, I threw the big one because of my wrist issue. Yeah, because it was just difficult. I still can't supinate my wrist. I can't do a flat hand push up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How did you break your wrist?
Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Football. Yeah. The navicular bones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually
like on both, the tackle or something?
Yeah, on both wrists. I was holding a blocking dummy wrong. I was holding it with my hands instead of putting my hand through it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I learned that lesson too late. And so they both snapped at the same moment. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How long was the rehab from that? That had to be pretty tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't even put my hands in my pocket for about 6 months.
Oh my
so
goodness.
I didn't throw the shot that next year. I just threw the disc. And then after that, I learned how to literally, I would use a whole tape of athletic tape, a whole roll to be able to build a pad behind my wrist. So it wouldn't hurt too bad as the shot would recoiled it.
Yeah. I got you. So when did the interest start happening for you to like pursue college? Cause you were playing football, you know, and then throwing in the side, you know, you had the opportunity to go to Air Force. I know, was there other schools you were looking at maybe just to throw or maybe just to do football?
No, really. Because of my wrist problems, I never really, as a freshman, you know, I was throwing 55 in the shot as a freshman and 158 in the disc. And then I broke my wrist, and it just really set me back for a year or two. So okay. I don't think I peaked, you know, in enough time for people to look at me to throw for, you know, a scholarship. So I was a pretty good football player, and I just saw that I could do both. So I went to college doing both. But I realized as a transfer from Air Force to Stephen F. Austin that I got a scholarship to play linebacker at Stephen F. Austin. And I realized about my junior year that it was the same scholarship. There weren't double scholarships. If I wanted to just throw the shot and disc, I could do that and still get the same money. And so I put my effort into that. And I went my extra year to get a master's. And that was the year that I excelled by just doing shot and disc.
Oh, wow. Can I ask, what was your experience like at the Air Force? You know, being from a Texas kid from Humble, going to Colorado, away from mom and dad, different environments, different scenery. What kind of experience was that for your short time in Colorado Springs?
It was a beautiful place to practice football at the foothills of the Rockies. That was where our practice fields were. And we had about 14 of us that were called blue chippers at that time from Houston. And we're still friends today, a lot of us. And if you look back on the class of 1984, that's when Fisher DeBerry went 10-0. Yeah. That would have been my class if I'd have stayed. We had a really good thing going. And here's my excuse, okay? And that's the way it's going to be, I guess.
That's all right.
You know, I just got where I had four roommates that were all valedictorians.
Uh-huh.
I was a good student, but I wasn't that.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, by the time I got to the Hill after football practice, they were playing chess and I was just starting on my studies. And I knew something was going to give before long. And so after watching several buddies kind of get booted out because of grades, I just didn't feel like I had the academic foundation to make that. And then I went home for Christmas and one of the coaches said, hey, we need linebackers at Stephen F. Austin. And so I pursued that. I just felt like it was, probably going to be a better fit for a non-military guy. I respect them. I honor them. I just didn't understand what a sergeant or a major was. And so I was just a fish out of water, but love Fisher DeBerry, love Coach Hatfield. I love doing PT. I mean, I excelled at all the physical stuff, but when it came time to I transferred 21 hours for one semester.
Oh, wow.
On top of football and everything else. So, I felt like I made the right decision later on.
For sure. For sure. So you go to Stephen F. Austin, you're playing football. I think at that time they were still in the Southland Conference. You know, what was that transition like to being a student athlete in Nacogdoches and how did you adapt to that situation?
Well, the first thing I noticed was that they actually had girls at the campus.
True.
And so, we didn't have any at the Air Force Academy. And so you imagine I'm 19. I said, that was the time of, what was it called, babe? Rodeo. What was it with John Travolta in it?
Urban Cowboy.
Urban Cowboy. Yeah. And so everything was get home and get to Gillies and just kind of get all that stuff out of your system. And they just put me right into PE and health.
Did they?
Because I had no idea what I wanted to be. Just like most freshmen or sophomores, and. Ended up, that's what I ended up with, was a degree in education, I had good, my dad was still my dad, and I'd go home for the summers and work for Coca-Cola, make enough money to make it by, and I was a bartender and a bouncer during the year, then I threw shot and disc, and I played football, I did everything I could to pay the bills, and I just made that work, for 3 or 4 years. And it was good.
What was your first? Because how I found out about you was your old coach, Mr. Glenn Sefik, who's a good buddy of our show, and we became good friends. And he's recruited some of my kids, and he recommended you for the podcast. And so, tell us your first interaction with him. What was your opinion of him when you first met him? And be honest, did he try to turn you into a multi-thrower?
Hey, all right, I got to ask you a question. Is Glenn Sefik going to watch this?
He better.
he might.
I look for the downloads in commerce. It's a little skiffy. I've heard he put his boat on Lake Fork, so the reception's bad, but we'll see.
Okay. Coach Sefcik and I were, it was so funny because I was this big old weightlifter, shot put guy, and Sefcik weighed about a buck 20. And then he wanted to come show me how to throw the shot put. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, but here's the thing. He got out in the ring and he said, let me show you something. And he actually performed the glide in reverse. In other words, he started from the finish of his throw and he went in reverse.
Uh-huh.
I was impressed.
Oh, wow.
He was a student of the throws, yeah. And he would video me back in when, I don't know, it was probably 8mm or something.
Yeah.
And then he would show me what I was doing wrong. And I don't think I'd ever seen that, even in high school. And it just took my form and my consciousness and my form to the next level. And so, you know, Glenn and I usually shared a room because I, you know, by the time I was a senior in a master's degree program, I was my fifth year. And so I was probably, you know, one of the more mature kids there. And he and I began to lay in the room and just talk about life, you know, in the hotels as we travel and throw. And at that time, I was watching an evangelist on TV and really starting to understand and question the things of God. And so he and I kind of entered that period together, talking about things, discussing things. And we probably both knew about the same amount. You know, and now as I look back at him, he couldn't have been more than 7 years older than me.
Yeah.
I mean, back then I thought he was, you know, 60 or 70 years older than me. But, you know how it is.
Yeah.
But
so
really,
now he's 140.
He's 140 at least. But he's looking like a ripe old 70. So he's looking really
yes, he
good.
Is.
You know? Yeah. So he's a good friend of mine. He really is. And I reconnected with him recently, a few years ago. And we've become good friends. He actually helps with me with my throwers camp. And I just love Glenn.
Gotcha. And we're going to get into some other stuff talking about your ministries and stuff. But first, talk to us about that second place finish in indoor nationals. And I bring that up because, you know, you didn't have really any big time meet experience when you were in high school because maybe the wrist injury and stuff, you know, going to regionals, that had to be a new experience for you. And how did you kind of adjust to that situation?
That was in what I liked about it is I've always liked to travel.
Okay.
And so they took us to Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, wow.
North Dakota State.
Okay.
And it was during the winter, so it was cold. And there was only four of us that qualified for indoor nationals. But I believe we took second or fourth place. I forget. I mean, somewhere pretty high with just four of us. And each one of us had a PR day. And this was the first time I'd ever thrown with one of those yellow shot puts. You remember the kind you kind of got Play-Doh in it?
Yes, the kind of the sand. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of them are pliable, and then the red ones are kind of hard plastic.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got the yellow one, and I found out that I could make it work with my wrist because
yes.
it worked under my chin and with my wrist, so I could kind of push it in there, and then I could get a really good grip on it. And so then I could get my elbow up. And, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, the warm-ups, I was lofting them, and I thought, this is going to be a good day.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I knew something was going to come that was good, and we actually threw, I'll never forget this, upstairs. There was an upstairs area, like if you go into, watch a pro basketball game, you have an upstairs arena
yeah.
area, and that's where they lined it off, and we threw indoor, and they hit with chalk, and, you know, they measured it upstairs, and yeah, I was only an inch or so out of first place. It was really close. And it was just one of those days where everything hits, you know, the right leg up under the explosion there, just everything worked. And
wow.
So I just thank God for that day. I was really excited that day.
Do you remember what got first, who beat you that day on first?
I tried. I don't even, you know, Glenn was probably better at it than than what I could tell you. And
yeah,
all I know is I walked out of there with a silver medal, still got it somewhere.
Awesome.
What did your parents or did your dad able, was he able to watch any of those big meets that you did in college?
You know, he wasn't able to, but you know, I was able to call him and say, hey, this is what happened. I qualified for outdoor nationals, and it was in the, it was in the same, is in California later on. And it was in the same arena that they had had the practice field. I think it was Cal State Berkeley, you know, where they practiced for the Olympics.
Okay.
So, wow. Yeah, that was a really nice stadium and everything. And I didn't have my best day in the shot or the disc on that day, but I did qualify.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself now being a coach? You coach in high school track, as if you could coach yourself as a thrower, what made you successful? What was something that you maybe wish you could have done better if you were coaching yourself, if you look back at your career?
I would tell myself to listen to my coach.
Okay.
Because I wanted speed. I thought speed was the answer for everything. And because of that, I never really slowed down enough to really understand the block leg.
Mm.
I heard the term, I thought I knew it, but I could overcompensate because I was so fast. The problem is it didn't leave for the right leverage.
Yeah.
You know, and so that block leg never became something I was intentional about. And then I would do it periodically, it would just all work. And then it would go. But I wasn't consistent enough in it to make tweaks.
Gotcha.
But now, after coaching it so long, you know, I told my dad, I said, man, I wish I would have listened to me now. You know, I wish I could have somebody do that. I wish we'd had iPhones back then. That would have made it a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you start high in the back, or were you kind of crouched over where you chased your chest facing the ground and stuff in the back?
No, I actually, when I was throwing my best, I was actually, my upper body was actually up. I tried everything, but really I did figure out that my right leg is going to be the piston, you know, and that it was good. I learned how to, and Sefcik taught me this in college, not high school, but in college, how to rock back, how to get started going. And then kick, and then also how to be aggressive with my right leg and really pull it aggressively under.
Yeah.
You know, to actually pull it under and turn it to a 90.
Yeah.
And I got that because my footwork was always good, but I don't think I ever mastered, to be honest with you, putting that down and sticking that left leg, you know, with timing.
In the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we hear about different opinions about glide shot put all the time. So one of the things we always ask is, you know, we want glide shot put to be alive and exist with the world of rotational and the men's, especially, you know, because that's all they see now on social media. So I'm always curious to, you know, ask our guest is, how did you start? What were some of the cues? You know, if you could coach yourself, what would you say? Hey, I could have done this better, so to speak, especially in the glide. Because there is, I don't know how you feel about it now, but there still is a strong need for kids to glide because some kids just aren't meant to rotate.
I agree. And I've seen the opposite too. Some kids just don't have the mind to do the glide, but you put them on the rotate and they're wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we had 8 or 10 kids go to state this year.
And yeah, from out of the camp.
Yeah, from the camp. Okay. And some of it was private school, you know, but there was quite a few girls and boys in Austin too.
Awesome. Awesome. So you graduate, you come out with All American honors, and you got that degree. You're ready for teaching and coaching, right?
Wait, I was going to ask about, did you ever pick up a hammer or anything else, or was it just shot and discus?
Or did Glenn teach you how to do the javelin? Come on.
Did you pick up anything else in college before you move on?
I did. And I was pretty bad at all that. Yeah. I was terrible. Yeah. The hammer threw me. I didn't throw it, and I put it down after that. And then the the javelin I liked because I was really going to try to slim down after college, mm-hmm. and actually see if I couldn't compete a little bit better, maybe in a decathlete body.
Yeah.
You know, and I just couldn't, I don't know if it's my wrist or what, I just couldn't get my hand right on the javelin. Yeah. Okay. And so I never played baseball or anything. I was a quarterback in high school, but I couldn't, okay. I just couldn't get it to, I couldn't understand it, you know, and my wrist wouldn't turn right or something. And then after a while, I just kind of went on and started coaching and really enjoyed the coaching aspect of it as good or better.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long did you coach and where were some of the places that you coached at?
I really only coached in two places. I coached at Brazoswood down in Lake okay. Jackson. And yeah. then I coached in Texas City.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I moved, I was hired by Texas City and I became the head track coach there. And we ended up having we won district for the first time in 75 year history of the school.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of that had to do with our field events. We came out of the prelims smoking and nobody else, all they did down there was work, you know, Galveston ball, Clear Lake, mm-hmm. Clear City.
Lamar.
That was speed. Yeah. That was yeah. speed. And so that's what they worked on. Well, everybody neglected shot, disc, high jump, pole. They neglected that. So we picked up all those points and we ended up winning the district meet by 1 point on the mile relay. It's quite an exciting story. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how was it for that experience of being on the other side of the competition and being a coach, but now you're the head coach?
You know, I loved it because it was taking all the events and coaching them with the team. And I've always enjoyed that because, like I said, I was a sprinter. I was a long yeah. jumper. I did everything. I played football, basketball. I enjoy everything, you know, and I get bored with just one thing. And so I actually, to jump ahead several years, I actually think that that's one of the reasons why I enjoy ministry is because I can do many, many things in ministry, not just one thing. And I have many different personalities on this team and, you know, coach them up in their job and in their role on what they're supposed to do.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Were you at Texas City when they had that run for state championships in football?
I was there a year before it.
You were before. Okay. So you coached some of those kids in.
Yeah. One of the things that helped us win or start that tradition was winning in track. They'd never won anything.
Oh,
and
wow.
so those, awesome. The kids started believing. Yep. And then Rusty Dowling was the coach during that time. And he came in and he fired everybody but me. So he said, you can stay, but you can just coach track. I got everybody I need for football.
Oh,
and
really?
So, yeah, at that point, I was going to a church and the pastor said, would you come over and become our principal of our school? And by the way, go ahead and start a sports program for us. And so that's why I took that opportunity to go and start a brand new program at a Christian school.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So quick question. You coached before Rusty came in, you were coaching football. What position did you coach in football?
I was a linebacker and receivers.
Okay, cool.
And head track.
And head track. And what was the teaching responsibility?
Everything.
They hired me at coaching school because I had an English degree. And when I came in, Joe George was the head coach. And Joe George came in the first day. He introduced me. He said, and here's GF Watkins. He has an English degree. Could you teach us a little about Beowulf? That was his introduction to me the first day. Yeah. A little tongue in cheek there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how they did it. Yeah. But it was a great relationship. And I got to teach freshman English and did that for a couple of years. Yeah.
And the good thing is I bet you still have that lifetime certification to still teach as well.
I do. How did you know that? Right.
Me too.
Yeah, very, very few people do. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm still in it, but yeah, I have the lifetime too. There's some jobs available if you're looking. I think we're looking for a history teacher you're English. I don't know. I think our campus is looking.
Thank you very much. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And pass on it.
So you leave Texas City, or you leave Texas City, and you start being a principal at this Christian school. Is that where kind of the mindset shifted to maybe get into more of the ministry and do some of the outreach that you were working on currently?
Absolutely. I started working with the FCA, and then I became friends with Alan Waddell at Lamarck.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when they had their run on the state championships? So our church and we were real close. And then I started doing something called the Breakfast of Champions at that Kelly's right there on 61st, or going down to Galveston, excuse me. And so before long, we started Breakfast of Champions. We'd have 200-300 kids show up. That was boys, girls, band, everybody that wanted to show up, and we bought their breakfast. And, I mean, 200-300 every Thursday, and that was Lamarck, Texas. We do one for Texas City, we did one for Galveston, we did one for 2 or 3 other schools, and I had the Toyota dealership there in town pay for it. So they would come in, and we would just give them a little devotion, you know, and have somebody share a testimony, have a Houston Oiler come in, an Astro come in that was a Christian. And so we did that for, you know, 10 weeks, and I began to understand how ministry could actually work athletically.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
So is that where, is that the, you know, talk about to us now about the ministry and stuff. You know, you got stuff going on in Africa, I believe you did. You had a church in Katy. Kind of walk us through that path of your ministries and what's been going on.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for, gosh, almost 30 years now, if you count the Lamarck, the Lamarck ministry. So the last time I coached for money was in 91.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I coached my sons in the shot and discus, because the coaches at Cinco Ranch and the coaches at New Braunfels met me and said, why don't you just coach all of them? Because you know how hard it is to get coaches that know what they're doing.
Yes.
In the throws. And so I just go out there and volunteer. And after a while, I was the coach.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I love that, because that's all three of my sons. They all three did really well. And that was a great bonding time, you know, but I got to do it as a volunteer, which means if I couldn't show up, I just couldn't show up.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a good experience for me right there. But I was ministering at that time. We started a brand new church in Katy. I went over there the first year Katy won the state championship was our first year in 96.
Okay.
As Coach Johnson was still there.
Yeah.
And then we built a church. It was about a $3 million church. It grew really fast because I teach like I coach. In other words, I expect an outcome.
Yes.
And here's how you're going to get to it. Step one, step two, step three. If you don't do one of those steps, it won't work. Love you, but it's not going to work. And people began to come to church. Yeah. And and so I met a guy named Ed Cole. He was the father of the modern day men's movement. And his book, Maximize Manhood, really resonated with me. And then, of course, he led us into Promise Keepers. And that's where I met Coach McCarty and all of that. And so from that meeting, I began to understand how to minister to men specifically, so that you could minister to the family, but you start with a man who had been left out for hundreds of years. And so we do a lot of athletic things to get the guy, you know, interested, and not just shot and disc. We do a ton of things, you know, and then when we built that ranch, we started doing intense men, and that's a gathering for guys to do football, basketball, softball, baseball. I mean, everything. You compete all 3 days.
Yeah.
And then you, at night, you come up, and we had like Bum Phillips come up. You name it, we've had them out there. Your father, son duo, quarterbacks, Case Keenum, you know, just you name it, they've been there. Rick Perry helped me open it. So we've had a lot of good men come out and just talk about being men of integrity, men of character, how to treat your wife right, how to treat a young lady. These are things that they don't hear in a fatherless generation.
Very true.
And probably, you know, one of the things I'm most proud about is that I did coach, and I do have an understanding of coaches. My dad, my mother, like I said, were both coaches. I was a coach. My brother's a coach. This year marks 34 years in Malakoff, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And yeah,
oh, really? He coaches at Malakoff?
He does. Yeah.
Does he coach the throws?
He does. And he coaches at my camp, too.
I bet I've run into him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I bet I have. Yeah.
He's good. And he's a defensive coordinator up there. I'll be actually with him this week. We will on a football game this Friday night.
Okay.
But the program that I wanted to say is it's called Helping Coaches Coach.
Okay.
And we partnered. I'm proud of this. And we partnered with Chick-fil-A. And we offer coaches in the state of Texas and their wives free weekends. And it's about a $2,000 value. So it's 3 days, 2 nights, 5 meals. And we talk to them about 3 things in just a couple of meetings. It's not meeting heavy. We let them just enjoy the 85 acres, the lake, all the stuff that we have. It's just serene. And we talk about money, mentoring, and marriage. And we just feel like we can fill in the gap for them because most of the time they're so busy with other people's kids that their own life suffers. Mm. And so we it's called Helping Coaches Coach, and we've been doing that now for about 10 years, 11 years. And every summer we'll do about 100 coaches or so, something like that.
So, GF, tell us how the idea of the Texas Throwers Camp started and kind of what's going on with that and what it's evolved to today.
Well, I made a video, and it's on the website. My dad, as an old coach and principal and superintendent, would go to track meet after track meet after track meet because he loved it, and he's a good coach. And he would notice how many kids didn't know how to walk in the ring, how to walk out of it. He said they weren't being coached. They all the stuff. They're throwing the disc out of the back of their hand. They don't know how to spin. I mean, he said it's just, he would walk away cussing every single time because he's like, I can't believe. I mean, every year. And finally he'd look at me and go, why don't you do something about this? You know, like, okay. And he said, you got that ranch out there. Why don't you pour some rings and let's start inviting people out there so we can teach them the basics. Just teach them how to do the basics.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened. So my dad, myself, my brother, Sefcik, that was the first group of coaches. Now I've got kids that have finished college, you know, and have thrown in college, and they're coming back and they help us, especially with the spin technique and the shot. Yeah, so that's kind of where this will be our fourth year. Last year we had 35 kids. Like I said, virtually all of them won their district, you know, and then they went into area and regional, and then about 8 or 10 of them made it out to state.
Wow. Wow. How many rings do you have out there? How many rings do you pour?
I poured 2 of each.
2 each. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
But it's just shot and disc, no hammer?
Correct. That's okay. Correct. Yeah.
No hammer. Okay. What are you seeing when these kids come to you, you know, because as our main thing for doing the podcast and also the club is trying to grow the sport in the state of Texas, grow awareness for throwing to make it popular for people, you know, to kind of follow in your footsteps and stuff. What do you see when these kids come to you? They're hungry for coaching and teaching, but just don't have a clue how to throw.
It's all levels.
Yeah.
You know, and we do junior high, boys and girls, high school boys and girls. And one thing that we always comment, it's a Christian camp. And so when we go upstairs into the nice lodge and the nice ranch, we pray and we teach them how to pray. And that's part of their prep, you know, on getting their mind right. And, you know, and the parents come up there and they sit in the first meeting. And I've heard nothing but great things on, man, thank you for talking to my kid about God, you know, and thank you for, we've never had an issue, guys. I love that. And my dad says it, all the coaches say, these kids are great. Wouldn't you love to coach these kids all year long? You know, in public school, you don't have a choice.
No.
But these kids, they pay $500 or whatever it is, you know, and they come out there and they're serious. There's no playing. Because they're paying a fee. There's got skin in the game.
Yeah.
And they're serious. And then during the year, of course, every meet, I'm getting inundated with videos, you know, from practice or the meet. And we just take the time, all the coaches, to critique them and work with them maybe right in the middle of the meet.
Awesome.
No, it's great. We stay with them all year long and go to as many meets as we can, you know, if they're close to us. But I travel from San Antonio to Houston, back up to where Brent is. We've had them coming now from Oklahoma, from Louisiana. So they're coming from all over to come to the camp.
Wow. And so I see on your website where you already got January 27th and 29th, 2023, already set up for those dates. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And they can just go to that website, TexasThorsCamp.com, and sign up on the click to sign up, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Awesome. Good. Yeah, we'll good. So I'm going to ask you this question. Being a former teacher coach, and your camp is one part of teaching coaches how to coach, how do we get more coaches to care about throwing and therefore learn the trait of teaching track and field like they have the passion for football?
Great question. Great question. Yeah. Yeah, that's a trick question, actually. You knew that was going to be a hard one to answer.
Yeah.
We have a lot of guys that we touch in the helping coaches coach where we tell them what we're doing, and that gets their interest up, and then they come. Of course, coaches are a lot like pastors in that sometimes we think we know it all and we're too embarrassed to admit we don't.
Well
you know,
said. Well
and
said.
So that would be labeled as pride. And so mm-hmm. even though we need help, we don't ask for it. So relationship is integral to getting to that point. But we have a lot of people, like a kid will hear about us, or moms are our greatest advocate. They hear about it and they want their kid to come. So they go tell the coach, and then sometimes the coach will come to the camp. And so we have a special that says, coach, if you'll bring three kids, you're free.
Oh, wow.
We don't scrimp on things. So they're going to have steak and potatoes. And I mean, they're eating high on the hog. You understand?
It's, yes.
It's really, we have a chef. We have a really nice, we have two pools now. Mm. I mean, we have some nice, nice facilities, which makes our camp really, really good. And the kids get to know each other after coming 2 or 3 years. And then they have s'mores around the camp thing. And, you know, they start really, they call each other. They stay connected. It's becoming a big culture and a family. And y'all know that because you run a camp. And so we have developed a relationship between the parents and the kids. And it's only been 3 years now. But, you know, we've got Clendenin is one of the top throwers in the state. He's from Brandeis. He was a 180-footer this year as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes out. Then we've got a kid that was a 160 thrower from a 3A school. They kind of lead, and they lead the field. We had the number two thrower girl from Refurio. She was a freshman. She got second. Mm-hmm. And they what they do is they get in there and they talk among themselves, and they learn more from that than anything I teach them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that camaraderie. You can't really put that in a bottle. You don't know how to. You don't have to duplicate that, except just get them together. And when they're eating or they're playing, there's somebody will say something, and that'll be the thing that clicks them. You know, it's just that one word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Learning among yourself and learning peer to peer is very important. We've been blessed with great leaders in our program that kind of pass it down to the younger one, and it just kind of recycles itself. One thing I was hoping you would say in my setup question was when we go to these high school meets to give the kids more throws. I don't know about in your area.
Yeah.
But one of my pet peeves is in the Dallas Metroplex is these kids train and work hard and have aspirations to go throw in college. And we only give them three throws. If it's a good meet, they get four throws.
I agree.
And they get seven meets for the year. And that's only like 28 throws. That's not enough to get, you know, any interest from any college coach or even, you know, hit consistent marks on a frequent basis. And so that's something we try to do is when we talk to coaches is to say, hey, when you have these high school meets, you know, give the kids four throws, but maybe even try to Well, even on just the varsity, do prelims and finals, because as I'm sure you experience in regionals and at these state meets, is once they get in that kind of throwing environment, they're not ready to handle that because they haven't prepped for that six throw preparation at all in previous meets that season. And it's a little frustrating. So
agree 100%. That's one of the pet peeves of my dad and myself. And, you know, those kids work as hard as any runner. I mean, they work all the time in the weight room. They work. That's their event. Don't cut them short on this thing, you know. And so any meet I do or he does or my brother does, you're going to get six throws if you're in the top eight. That's how it goes, you know. Good. So
are you a current – are you a United States track and field official now? Are you official?
No, I'm just a UIL guy that goes to the state meet, you know, but Sefcik's been on my butt to do that. And I know I should. I know I should. So I probably will. I do it for fun. I really enjoy it, but I'm sure that I'd be better if I sat in the class.
Yeah. We're certified officials. We've never officiated any big meets. We've done some local summer meets and stuff like that, but it is good experience. And you do really kind of maybe pick up a couple things you didn't know.
Yeah.
And so it's a good learning experience. And last question. How did you become a famous author as well? Where do you have time to run a camp, do your ministries, and write four books?
And I think his wife's sitting beside him. Maybe we need to ask her this question.
She's being quiet. She's just smiling. Listening to us. You know. I Ed Cole was really a great role model. He was like a coach.
Yeah.
And God just supernaturally put us together and we began to travel. I was 30 years old when I met him, and he took me around the world, and he was a great author. And I think I just respected him so much, just like coaching, you know, that I wanted to impact the world like he did. And his book, Maximize Manhood, changed my life. Mm. And so, the first book I wrote was called Winning the Big One. Because I had a television program in Houston called Winning the Big One eccentric millionaire gave me to have athletes on it. So I'd never done anything like that in my life. And it just was a miracle. So I wrote a book, and it was full of coaches, head coaches, R.C. Slocum. I mean, you name it, they were in there. And I asked them for their personal testimony, you know, and it just flowed easy, I guess, maybe from my English stuff or whatever, but. You know, after that, I just began to put things together that had impacted my life. And it's not like what I thought was you could just have a publisher and then that puts you on the top 10 list. You'd be rich. You know, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
It doesn't. Okay.
No. And so if you were thinking about that anyway, I'll help you out.
No.
I've always wanted to write a book.
She wanted to write a book. So,
well, do it for fun. And, but realize this. But the old people told me, and it was true, the best place to sell your book or to make it available is when you go out and you meet people and you talk. Oh. I've sold 99% of all my stuff that way. So our stuff is now in Italian. Our stuff is in German. It's in Spanish. It's in Italian. So I think I said that. But it's all over the world. But it happens slowly and surely. And I call them disciples now. They used to be athletes. And that's what I do. Is I just train good disciples. And these guys become like my team. And they go do it very well. And I coach them still today. I don't pastor any longer. I've turned that church over 6 years ago. But here's what I do. Everything I do is pretty much an athletic analogy. You can tell. It's okay. I tell them that, you know, I feel like I'm in the press box now. I mean, at one time I was on the field playing, then I graduated to the sideline, became a coach. And then, as I got a little more experience, I moved upstairs so I could see the full field and I can help you make calls. And that's kind of how our organization runs, with me in the press box, helping them to make the right calls, but they get to run the plays. They get to do the stuff that I used to do. And it really works well.
Awesome. So just for clarification, can it, like the Alpha Male or Test Me, can somebody go buy that on Amazon if they look for it?
You can, but I would rather you have you buy it at gfwatkins.org.
Okay. gfwatkins.org.
gfwatkins.org, and that way we can take care of you. And if you want it signed, you can ask for that too.
Final question is, an old thrower has kind of, you know, had his hands in a lot of different situations. What do you think of throwing going on now in the world with, you know, what Ryan did with breaking the world record for Brandy Barnes, what Valerie Almond's doing in the discus, you know, what Chase Easley's doing in the shot put? You know, what's your assessment of what's going on in the U.S. now for throwing?
Man, I love it. I'm proud of those guys. They're kicking it. You know, I watched the young lady when she was at UT.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were practicing during one of the state meets. I went over and sat and watched her.
Yeah.
She's like a ballerina, you know, and just incredible. I take those videos. We train a lot with those videos at the camp because she has perfect form. You know that. And so I applaud them. Just when you think nobody can go further, they are. And the young man is just a behemoth, man. I mean, I don't know where that guy came from. He came from Mars or something. But it, I mean, his size and his strength and his skill, and, you know, he's just got it all. And so I love to see it work, and I'm so glad they're from America.
Yeah. 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 I think we were kind of behind the eight ball a little bit with the, you know, the East Germans and the Europeans and some of the stuff going on. But I think in the last 5 or 6 years, we've kind of really stepped it up. And to be honest, what I've really seen is we took advantage of COVID. Is when everything was kind of shut down, they were out working and making time to hone their craft, and they got rest and they were fresh. And when they came out in 2021, even to 2022, they were ready. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Joe Kovacs just last week won the Diamond League and went 23-23, which is the second farthest throw all time, and even broke Randy Barnes' world record that stood for so long. So in the last two years, we've had two of the farthest throws back to back. And there was a 20-year, or I think it was 17-year period of time where we couldn't even touch his record. Yeah. And now 2 years back to back, we're over it. So it's been tremendous, and I think those type of situations, hopefully the kids will see that on social media, and more kids will aspire to go out and throw far, for sure.
You know, I appreciate what you guys are doing and the enthusiasm that you have. Continue to do this. We need you guys. You're in the trenches, and you're helping a lot of guys like me, and you've made me excited to get ready. And we've already got 4 or 5 kids signed up. My secretary called me today. That's
awesome.
That's the furthest in advance we've ever had them, you know, so they're calling in. Somebody told them something.
Thank you so much. Tell your wife, thank you. We hope we didn't bore her too bad. So
thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much. Safe travels.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
We'd like to thank GF for being on. What a great story. I the thing that you love about throwing is once it's inside you, it's always inside you. Regardless of the age, and that was instilled in him as a young boy from his dad that carried him to Stephen F. Austin to meet Glenn, and gets into coaching, teaching, being a head track coach, but then God pulls him into ministry. But then at the same time too, he comes back around to throwing and teaching and giving back to it. So what a tremendous person, and what a tremendous experience he has. Just in everything that he is about, and helping and giving back. I really like the fact too that we focus on our throwers sometimes, but I think GF is also looking at the avenue that we probably need to do a better job of, is coaching the coach. Mm-hmm. Is really saying, okay, you might be a little too prideful. You think we know it all, but hey, just listen to take a couple of these pointers and give it back to your athletes when you go back to your school for that spring sport of track and field.
I just love the whole athletic thing. It just shows you what, you know, parents were coaches. He was an athlete. The lessons and the life and the adventures athletics can take you on.
Yeah.
Like from around with his ministry. I mean, his books are based on they're not athletic books, but leadership skills and things that he learned through athletics. And then taking the kid, you know, the kids that go to the camp, teaching kids how to pray and talk about God and how that can be a big part, you know, of your athletic experience. Just the big whole picture.
Yeah, that's pretty
awesome.
Yeah, and again, that website.
I love the camp idea, all the things.
Yeah, awesome. Again, that camp, the website is TexasThrowersCamp.com. The camp date is January 27th to 29th of 2023. Or you can go to gfwatkins.org. And you'll see his ministry page in there, or having have access to the books as well.
And the Helping Coaches Coach.
Yes.
That is another place that you can go to look up for the camp that he does for coaches and their wives and their spouses.
Yes. So, all right.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right.
Do
my job. We would like to thank our sponsors, Texas Track and Field Coach Association, TTFCA.org. Go check them out. We talked about the winter clinic coming up in January. That's not that far away. So get you some tickets to go. Great speakers when it comes to throwing and all things track and field, but they've got really great people talking about throws.
Adam Setliff for discus, like we said, and Steven Sines for shot put. So,
and we'll be there. And
yeah, first time for us possibly be attending for both days as well.
You can be on the podcast.
Yes, we're going to be doing live interviews there
about something.
I don't know if it'll be track and field, but we'll find something to talk about. Yeah,
It'll be track and field and probably throwing related. All right, fourthrows.com, quality implements pass.
Quality implements price right.
Use the code TALKINGTOUS10 to get 10% off. Porta Circle, making throwing accessible. Go to porta-circle.com. Use the code TALKINGTOUS10 to get 10% off. If you were in the Austin area, Zach Phillips has got great stuff going on. Him and Jason chatted the other day, so lots of good stuff he's always doing.
You can go to his website, readyupad.com, but also follow him up on Instagram and Facebook. One cool thing about Zach is he is really good at designing a weightlifting program to fit your needs. So if you're a freshman lineman that needs to put on weight and get stronger, Zach's the guy that you go to say, hey, I need a 6-week program to get me where I need to be. If you're a 5'11 post on your girls' JV basketball team, and maybe you need to get in a little better shape and have a little bit better endurance, but also move laterally, Zach is the guy that can set a program up to help you get better on the basketball court, whether it's agilities, whether it's Olympic lifting, whatever high intensity workout. Zach's a really good guy at developing a workout program to get you where you need to be. So just reach out to him, readyupad.com, or call him at 512-507-8347.
Hello, Talking Throws, Texas podcasters. I'm Bruce Caldwell. I'm here today to introduce the FiberSport Discus. Yes, many of you thought I only made great vaulting poles. I have been bringing quality discuses to the thrower's hands for over 40 years. First as Cantabrian USA representative, then for the past 10 years as the Nelco Discus distributor. I introduced the yellow-plated discus for the plastic's best durability. If your FiberSport discus breaks, we replace it. Our studies have reached into the science of using a wind tunnel and adding microchips to the discus to find the spin, the gravity, the flight stability of the discus. We have found it's not about rim weight anymore. It's more about creating a balanced stability to allow the discus to fly and surf the wind. Our new FiberSport discus is made to be selected to fit your needs, no matter the weather, no matter the conditions. Check out our discus selection guide at FiberSportDiscus.com and find a dealer in your area that sells our fine product. Thank you, Jason Janelle, for allowing me to talk with your listeners on Talk and Throws Texas Style.
And go to ThrowingFactory.com shopping page. Things to buy. We got coaches in lots of areas. When you're ready to start doing some lessons, I'm doing lessons with young kids right now. It may seem early, but they're wanting to throw and passionate about it. You need your kid get involved in something. Come out and let's work on throwing.
And if you reach out to Coach Jarvis, Coach Kai, or Coach Morgan Knight in Abilene, and or us, and to maybe we can make a schedule out. So then also to remind everybody about liftingdfw.com human performance. Please go on our social media pages, because I posted that commercial that we're getting out there. So I hope y'all like that. And we are going to be selling the trailers. If you want to buy a trailer now, you can call me to do that. We're getting everything set up to get that purchase easier for y'all online. But then I'm also doing my Olympic lifting sessions now starting this week. So if you want one-on-one, or if you and your buddy have a wanted to do a duet on Olympic lifting, whether you're a volleyball player, a basketball player, track and field, whether you're a thrower, you don't have to be just a thrower. We'll take on anybody. Just go to Lifting DFW website and get my contact information and shoot me an email or text.
If you just like lifting.
Yes.
Like all the kids in my school, they just like to lift. So yes. We'll teach you how to do it right so you don't get injured.
Yes.
All right.
And then follow us on YouTube as well. Thumbs up. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well.
And the podcast.
And,
and leave some great comments.
Yes, please do. Yeah, leave some comments.
Ones that about him.
Yes.
All right, y'all have a good one.